be seated. Remember the story from the Gospels? Remember Jesus comes to Jerusalem? He enters with a fanfare. He spends days at the temple as his enemies scheme ways to take him. Remember, he asks his disciples to prepare a place and they gather for a Passover meal. Remember, he goes to the Mount of Olives where he prays and is arrested and is taken to the courts for trial where he is sentenced to death. And then he moves to the place of his execution and death on a cross. Remember? This week is a week of remembering this story, but remarkably, it is only in one of the many places Jesus visits that he asks to be remembered. In this last week of chaos and tension and excitement and challenge, he spends a long evening with his followers alone. He breaks bread. He shares wine. He washes feet. And he tells them to love one another. And then he commands and invites them to remember me. He doesn't say these words on the road into town, as he's coming in on the colt at the parade. He doesn't say these words at the temple, in the garden, in the courtyard, or even on the cross. He doesn't say this when he's publicly on stage and seen by all. No, he says this in a rather private place where they are safely grounded in a story and a ritual that is familiar to them all. For this is the Passover ritual, a practice that they've been part of since childhood, where they remember a liberating God taking them from slavery to freedom. And they remember who they are, for they are a people who belong to this God. They are liberated. And here in this place of predictability and habit, Jesus does a new thing. He creates a new memory, for he embodies the liberation of God and offers himself as remembrance, offers his presence as the revitalizing life for this new community. When he commands them to remember him, he promises them a way to begin again. Recently, I've been reading a book by the dancer and choreographer Twyla Tharp. It's called The Creative Habit, and she writes about the many ways that help her be a creative person. And one of the chapters that she wrote surprised me, because she talked in this chapter about how creativity emerges out of remembrance. She says, creativity is taking the facts, the fictions, and the feelings we store away and finding new ways to connect them. She reminded me that memory, remembrance, is made up of many things. It is more than thinking about something. For There is muscle memory, is there not? Our bodies carry memories of tension, of stress, of turmoil, and also memories of health and wellness and easy movement and freedom. There is virtual memory when we're able to take our feelings and imagine them into the past or project them into the future, visualizing a way that we could go. There is sensual memory when a taste or a smell or a color gives us images of the past. There is institutional memory when the good ideas of the past are hidden in the present, embraced by all of us, but often not recognized until we go back and listen and pay attention to what is already here. There is ancient memory when our ancestors are alive with us in the present. Creativity emerges when we use these memories to fashion our own solutions. And what struck me as I read this chapter is that this story of Jesus in the upper room, in the few hours that he has with his disciples, Jesus creates a way for his disciples to go into the future without him. For he takes the meal of the memory of the Passover and he recreates it as a way for his followers to remember him. He gives us this meal today to remember. For when he gives us this meal, he gives us a muscle memory. Each time we gather in community, sharing bread and wine, we embody the love Christ shares. Our bodies take it in. When he gives this meal, he gives us virtual memory. For we can recall the ways that Jesus loved in his world by welcoming the outcast, healing the broken, bringing peace among people. And we can imagine how Jesus loves in our world today by those things that bring us joy. And we can imagine a world, what a world would be like if all was created in Jesus' love, all people reconciled together. When he gives us this meal, he gives us a sensual memory that reminds us in taste and song and art and beauty of the goodness of God. When he gives us this meal, he gives us an ancient memory. For in the eating and the drinking, we are part of a community of ancients who join us in communion, who offer wisdom for life and loving. When he gives the meal, he gives us a new creation. For it is in this communion of memory that the church is created and recreated Each and every time we break bread and drink wine, giving thanks for this freshly given love of Christ in our midst. Each and every time the servant community of Jesus is remembered, we taste and see anew. And as we remember, we are part of the new creation in every time and place. It helps me this week to consider this simple gift of Jesus, this core of new creation in our midst. Perhaps because it is Holy Week, it seems that the grief and suffering of the world are especially hard to bear. And this week began in the burning and the loss of Notre Dame, a place recognized globally as sacred place. How quick we humans are when we want to fix pain. And this can be a good thing, but it wasn't even one day later when someone is giving billions of dollars and leaders are promising to rebuild the place to exceed expectations and return to the memory of beauty and glory that was. Now, I hope that this desire leads to meaning and the joining of people together. And I also believe the sacred place cannot be recreated in the placing of wood and stone in the right place. I can't help but think of how the church began. In a small room gathered around a table with a story of a God who liberates in love. Not perfect by any means, flawed, unknowing, easily led astray, with threat and death around, but a place where lives were transformed nonetheless. Here was the new creation, and it happened in people. Ugly and beautiful people. And it was through the meals around the table where the story of Jesus was kept alive, passed from one to another, told through bodies that served, through hearts that forgave and forgave again. Bodies and minds and hearts who remember Jesus. The one who dies and rises again and again. Here is the sacred place. We remember Jesus who puts a towel around his waist and picks up the dirty feet of those around him and washes them with tender love. We remember Jesus knowingly sharing his body as bread, even with those who betray him. We remember Jesus who enters the trauma of trial and arrest and execution with surrender in the hope of a liberating God. We remember, and we are recreated in servant love. I remember a time when my daughters were in high school and my family welcomed a teenager from France, Estelle. She came with a group of high schoolers who stayed with different families in our county. And Estelle stayed with us for a week. It happened to be Holy Week, and she happened to get the family with a pastor. And so I asked her if she'd ever gone to church. And she said very sincerely, "Oh, in France, we're mostly all Christian, but we aren't practicing." I've never forgotten that simple way of saying it. We aren't practicing. She reminded me that the life and love of Christ is passed on in the practicing of that love, that life, one to another, in servant love. Do this. Remember me. Remember me. Do this. Jesus invites us to practice coming to God with open hands, to receive the gift of his broken body, and to practice opening our mouths to taste the gift of his lifeblood shared with us. He invites us to receive this love he freely offers, that in the receiving we may be freed to practice loving, practice serving, practice creating again and again. May it be so.